The office was full of oak and mahogany, lushly carpeted, and lit by golden lamps. All the furnishings were gilded, and huge leather-bound books with complicated titles filled the long wooden cases behind crystal glass panes. Sitting behind an immense desk, Governor General Huckstein rested his hands on his belly with a weary expression while the balding little man in the dark muggle business suit yelled at him.
"No, we cannot just obliviate the internets," the suited man shouted. "Good God, how do you stay so ignorant? You have an office overlooking Wall Street, and you can look out your window and see technology every day. Just because you people still use gas lamps and papyrus," he swung his arm to take in the Governor General's office, his lip curling, "there's no excuse for you not to have some clue about how things work in our world."
The Governor General reached his hand down to scratch behind the ears of the terrier-like beast that sat at his side. Its forked tail wagged back and forth, and it momentarily stopped growling at the muggle.
"Really, Mr. Johnson? And how well do you people understand how things work in our world?" asked Huckstein.
"I understand that you seem to be having trouble keeping your world contained," Mr. Johnson said. "There have been too many freak tornadoes and lightning storms and mysterious ghost train derailments in the past few years. If you can't keep your people and these bizarre creatures under control, what is that thing anyway?"
He pointed at the canine. It snarled at him and seemed ready to lunge at any moment, yet its eyes kept rolling back to the Governor General as if pleading for permission. With none forthcoming, it remained rooted to the floor.
"It's called a crump, Mr. Johnson. As for my people and our bizarre creatures, there have always been encounters between the wizarding world and yours. The muggled capacity for self-deception has always served us even better than Obliviators in keeping the occasional incident from disturbing your blissful ignorance."
Mr. Johnson's teeth ground together. "Stop using that M-word. It sounds racist. I've told you before, the official census designation is no match." Huckstein's bushy white brows furrowed.
"Not our census. That is an absurd term."
"Blissful ignorance is to both of our advantage," Johnson went on. "And frankly, we're beginning to have doubts about your ability to keep your end of our understanding."
"Indeed?"
The Governor General's tone was casual as he resumed scratching behind the crop's ears.
"We're starting to think," Mr. Johnson said, "that maybe you people need a change in leadership."
"And how do you imagine that works, Mr. Johnson?"
The crop was growling again.
"We can read the Confederation Charter," Mr. Johnson said. "You're not Governor General for life. You're Governor General until the other governors decide to replace you. Or the Ministry of Magic," he added smugly.
Governor General Huckstein laughed.
"That's a purely formal construct, and an archaic one. It's been centuries since the Ministry of Magic has had any authority over us. They would have to get their queen to demand my replacement. And in the unlikely event they were ever foolish enough to try, we'd just rewrite our charter. We are as fully independent from the old world as you are, Johnson."
"Well, you're not fully independent from us," Mr. Johnson said. "You live in our territory, Huckstein, and our laws apply to you, not the other way around."
"Is that so?" the Governor General asked. "That sounds very much like a threat. Are you sure you want to disrupt the understanding we've had for all these centuries?"
"You're disrupting it,"
Mr. Johnson shouted.
"You let loose a goddamn dragon in Times Square!"
"Not that many people saw it," Governor General Huckstein said.
100 million people are seeing it right now on the internet," Johnson yelled. "Get that through your thick skull! We've stood up an entire movie production company and bombarded the news with trailers and news items to distract the public, but there are still people out there who aren't buying the official story, and those people are starting to collect all your other occasional incidents and post them on blogs and news groups, and we can't shut down all of them."
"Well then," said Governor General Huckstein, "maybe it is time for our understanding to come to an end."
Mr. Johnson stopped yelling for a moment. His mouth gaped open and shut like a fish. Then he began shouting again.
"Listen to me, you fat pompous!"
The Governor General picked up the wand on his desk and pointed it at Mr. Johnson. He spoke a word, and the man disappeared right out of his suit with a pop. What fell to the carpet where he'd been standing was a fat black rat with large, terrified eyes. The rat scampered in a circle on the crumpled folds of the suit, confused.
"Go, boy," said the Governor General.
The crop leaped forward eagerly. Over the sounds of the rat's terrified squeak and the crop's snarls, Governor General Huckstein said,
"Richard!"
Richard Respire opened the door from the side office.
"Sir?"
The Governor General heaved himself out of his chair.
Come along, Richard, he said, reaching down to scoop up the crop in one arm. He scratched it under the chin, despite the blood dripping from its jaws. It's time for us to get rid of some vermin.